I want to remind you as I start this, I want to talk about the mission with Jesus, eating, seeing, and receiving. Before I do it, though, I want to encourage you, if you've not, I don't do this very often, but if you've not heard the sermon from last Sunday, that was an important one-verse sermon that we had, that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, dynamically spreading and filling. We've had a lot of fruit from this sermon, and that word, that verse is very important to us right now. God is calling us to be a people in this season that engages like never before in going and filling instead of putting signs up and saying, come to everybody, okay? The kingdom of God is working its way through the dough of this community, through this city. We're called to leaven our neighborhoods, leaven our cities, and leaven the earth. And so we as a people in a ministry, and I gave my bias, I love grassroots movements. I love spreading out movements. I love hearing stories of you coming in here and you've been on mission. Then we come together as multiple churches, all from the front lines. We refresh, we stir, we encourage, and then we go back and get at it. I love being with a people that don't think this is the ultimate of church, that don't have this as the only opportunity for church for them. I love being on mission. In John chapter 4, one of my favorite missional passages, where Jesus has the encounter with the woman at the well because he was thirsty. That's what it was. He got thirsty, went to a well, had a dynamic moment that unfolded while he was talking to this woman. She goes back and gets a whole village to come out to Jesus. And at the end of this passage, while that's happening, she's gone in to tell everybody how this man told her everything that she had ever done, and that community is being stirred and starting to walk out toward them. Jesus has this encounter with the disciples who he had been away with. They meet back up with him, and it says, meanwhile, in John 4:31, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, Rabbi, teacher, eat something. We know your schedule, and you've not eaten for a while. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Did somebody slip him a snack or something? And Jesus said to them, my food, everybody listen, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I want you to know, as a shepherd, okay, you sheep, you glorious sheep, I so long for you to be well fed. I passionately want you to be well fed. And I know that the book of John shows me two ways that you eat. John 6 will say, you feed on Jesus alone, fellowship with him. That's food to us. We are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But this passage talks about that our food is doing the will of him who sent us, okay? So doing the will of God, being on mission, is actually food to our soul. If you're not on mission, you're not doing his will, I bet you're starving and in an anemic spot. So Jesus says this in verse 30. Well, let's go to verse 35. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months till and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And imagine a village coming out toward them. The boys, he says, look, lift up your eyes, guys. The harvest is ripe, and here it comes. Already the one who reaps is receiving his wages. He's gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which for you did not labor. Others have labored, and you are now entering into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed upon him because of the woman's testimony that he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, which was happening this moment, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 more days. And then many more believe because of his word. In verse 42, which won't be the sermon, it's going to so tempt me, but everybody look at verse 42. And they said to the woman, the villagers, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that indeed he's now the Savior of the world. Listen, verse 42, I got to make a comment about it. So important. You that are on mission right now and doing evangelism, you're activating, it's so important that your witness be salt that draws them, but that your witness not be the place they stop. You need to lead them to living experience with Jesus himself. It's powerful when you say, here's what he did for me, and it begins to stir their heart, but that's the means to the end. You want to get them to their own personal testimony of where they've experienced Christ. Some are living on other people's experience with Jesus. It's not good enough. It won't stand in the day against the enemy. It won't stand in the day of judgment. We've got to bring people to a personal encounter with Jesus. And if you don't know how to do that, don't freak out. Not many people do. We want to talk with you and teach you how to lead them to personal encounter with Jesus so that they have a personal testimony. I believe that the church is not normal or healthy if it's not on mission. Religion provides a way for you to have some personal spiritual fulfillment, an hour and a half on a Sunday, without being on mission with Jesus. That's not normal. That never should happen for a disciple. That my investment is I live my secular life all week, then I come and I do a little bit of Jesus stuff on the weekend because it's good for my soul. The generational missional DNA is this. In Luke 6:40, Jesus said, who's always on mission with the Father, a disciple's not above this teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus set a DNA in his life of going and filling and being on mission. He made 12 guys who did the same and got killed doing it. Then they made disciples that did the same, and they were always going and filling. The church history is full of the church permeating the earth like a virus, in a good way, like leaven, the kingdom of heaven. And that's the correct missional DNA that's in your heart. It's come down for generations. The Spirit of Christ in you is compelling you to be on mission. He's moving you to do that. Jesus lived life on mission. His disciples lived life on mission. And now for generations, that has happened until you. Mission is the DNA of who you are and the family that you're called to be part of, the church. If mission's not part of your experience as a follower of Jesus, then I think you have a chromosomal disorder. I think you've got a DNA problem. And I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm just telling you, you're not living the fullness of what you're supposed to be. And I just want to say this again. The McVeigh family, we like having family meetings to enunciate the vision, to say the standard of what we're doing, and to retalk. We've had family meeting after family meeting throughout the years. But a family meeting does not make us McVeigh. What makes us McVeigh is DNA. DNA, an identity and a name, and that we're all living life together and doing life together. That's what makes McVeigh McVeigh, and that's what makes the church the church. Now, we'll facilitate and use meetings to kind of accentuate what we're doing, but listen, you got to hear this. Church, meetings don't make you the church. Coming on Sunday doesn't make you the church. This is where we can just collate and get together. It's the DNA of the kingdom. So Jesus lays out in John 4 three things that are so vital that I just want to real quick say to you that we just read. Number one, being on mission feeds a disciple. John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. I don't know if you've ever been around anybody that's on spirit-led mission, but they're not unhappy people. They're not unfull people. They're not people that are going, I should read more. I should pray more. They don't deal in the depths of lethargy and lukewarm Christianity. People that are on mission, Holy Spirit-led mission, are being filled. They're being filled. Now, it may be hard, and it may get them killed, but they're being filled nonetheless. It is my food to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his will. Number two, we must look up to see the mission that's right now before us. You don't have to look very far. Jesus with the guys says, look up. Guys, lift your eyes. You say 4 months till this and this and that in farming, but listen, I'm telling you now, right now, there's harvest in front of you. All of you have been sovereignly placed in places, neighborhoods and jobs where you're around lost people. And you're around missional needs. The Father God who's sovereign has set you up right where you're supposed to be. It's not an issue of trying to get mission to come to you. It's an issue of you looking up and opening your eyes for what's happening. Number three, and lastly, Jesus says that the mission is a process of reaping and receiving what the Spirit is already doing. John 4:34, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. This is good news for you. The Holy Spirit is already working on people. When you meet them, you just are receiving what God's already doing in their lives. They're having divine appointments by meeting you, number one. But listen, something's already been happening to them. I'm praying for all the lost in the city. We're praying for all y'all every morning at Jacob's Well that the Spirit would fill you and give you eyes to see the divine appointments that are coming. We've said this before, and I believe it theologically. We don't need to pray for divine appointments. God's making the appointments. We got to pray for eyes to see them so we keep the appointments. Does that make sense? I don't think you have to get God to try to get you in the place where you can be a blessing. He's already doing that without you having to pray, all right? You are having those moments. The issue is you've seen them as they develop. So I ask you today, are you feeding? Are you seeing? And are you reaping, disciple? Are you feeding? Are you seeing? And are you reaping? If you're not, then you're not experiencing the normal Christian life. God made you to mission. He made you to have relationship and then not to just be monastic and live in that bubble, but to mission out. And that doesn't mean you get a job at New Life or in a sun. Listen, your mission is out there. Our mission is our lives. As one guy said, church happens where life happens. Mission happens right where you are. And I want you so much. I want you to see it and I want you to receive it. But I just want to say this, guys. I'm so longing for you to feed. I love the look in missionaries' eyes. I love it. And anybody's been around me, I love missions. I love people going, sending them. We love strategizing about them. And part of all that is that I like getting stuff done and the people, but I like the look in missionaries' eyes. I like it when they're full and they're alive and they've been eating and they're doing more than just learning Bible verses. You know, they're moving out from being 3,000 Bible verses overweight into moving and acting on what they've learned in the Bible. And that's what we're here to do. Part of our morning here with all of you guys is to provoke you and to stimulate you to walk out the good works that are in front of you. Now, how many people do we want you to bring here? I don't even know how to think about that. How big is New Life supposed to be? That's none of my business. What we're supposed to do is to be faithful, to be a center that stirs you up so that you're on mission. And I desire so much that you be fed. My heart is so desires that you be fed. So, my last statement on this before we start moving through some missions here for a few minutes, and you hear some stories and we pray over people, is this. There's not one person in here sitting that's not a believer that doesn't have mission before you. You've got preordained works before the foundation of the earth. I got to get you. We want to get you moving. I want to see you praying. That's what's in my heart. And I want to see you missioning. And when you do that, you're going to have a gleam in your eyes. You are. It may be the end of you financially, and it may get you killed. Like, why do I keep saying that? Because the disciples, who I think are the happiest people on the earth, the first 12, all got murdered, okay? So I'm not promising you health, wealth, and whatever. That's a twist on the gospel. What I'm promising you is fullness and relationship with your Creator and peace and joy like you were ordained to have. You were never made to be a self-consumer and to be fully happy. You were made to be a vessel of otherliness, a vessel of blessing. And so the whole earth is dying in self-worship, but God's people are being liberated so that we can begin to be on mission. What's your mission today? And I asked you last week, who's your church? Who's the people you're with one anothering? And where are y'all on mission together? Where's it at? What's the focus? Who are you focused in on? What's your strategy right now? You know, they do that with missionaries and pastors. I wish we could do that with every member in the body of Christ. That's membership. You know, tell me, I want you to take this piece of paper and tell me right now where you're focused, who you're praying for, and what's your strategy for getting to them. Tell me how you're doing in that, and let us get into the prayer meeting. Then we'd see the kingdom of God, I believe, spread like leaven. Happy, happy, happy are the people who are on mission.